The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, September 21st, 2022, Season 18, Episode number 35. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from SWBC Mortgage Studios. At the Star, we are presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. We are back at full strength. Nick, Brian, Amber, all in studio here. And thank you, Amber, for looking at me and smiling. The other two just kind of are ignoring me as they normally do.
I trying to retweet the show,
Derek. Like, okay, let me be
you see, they usually don't look at me during my open because I know Nick's thinking he's talking too long. Get to the point.
When you see these numbers of my retweet, you'll thank me later.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate you guys joining us. We got a little bit we'll talk about on the roster. There was one roster move the Cowboys made yesterday that was of consequence. We'll talk about that. A couple guys that we heard from Mike McCarthy on with regards to injuries. And then we're getting into the Giants. We're going to talk about the Giants offense versus the Cowboys defense. Giants are surprisingly 2-0. One of those wins being against the Tennessee Titans, who I think is a pretty good team. So definitely something worth considering this week as the Cowboys will head to New York for a Monday night game this week.
So it's going to be a long trip.
Yeah.
Long night.
Yeah, it is. Tuesday will be hard. Tuesday will definitely be hard. Brian, you will have to carry the show on Tuesday.
Be happy to.
Let's start with Dennis Houston. Cowboys released him yesterday. Big question is why? Because there are lots of reasons. Nick, I heard you this morning on 105.3 The Fan. You were kind of laying out some of those. What do you think is the biggest reason why Dennis Houston is no longer here?
Not good enough to be a receiver on the team. I mean, that's the number one. I mean, I always said that I didn't ever see what the infatuation was with him. The only thing I liked about him is the fact that he was running with the one, so he's impressed somebody. But I never saw him make a whole lot of plays, honestly. And he might be back on the practice squad. I don't know what the status is, and he's a good, you know, young developing player, but I don't think he, you know, he doesn't do a lot of great things. I mean, he's just a good, solid player. I didn't see a lot of great hands, didn't see a lot of great speed. He was just good player, and now they've got Gallup. Seems like he's coming back, so I don't know. You know, and they're not going to cut Tolbert, you know, obviously. So it's just that's just kind of where it stood. He probably wouldn't have made the team right off the bat if Gallup was ready and James Washington ready.
Yeah, I think Nick's right. I was when I was with you guys in camp. I understand because of the injuries and stuff why the guy got opportunity. And then I kept asking myself, why does he keep getting opportunity?
Right. Yeah.
Why does he keep getting the chances to run with the ones? Why does he keep, you know, it's one of those things where I think coaches and personnel guys, this is the problem. It's like you talk with each other in meetings. Well, that kid really knows what he's doing in these meetings. He's a sharp kid. Oh, really? Yeah, coach? Yeah, he's sharp, you know, he does a good job. He knows what's going on. Well, how about Tolbert? Well, Tolbert ain't picking it up right yet. You know, he's not picking it up as fast. So all of a sudden, these coaches have got you convinced that one guy has completely got everything ahead of him, and the other guy who you drafted and did all the work and really should be getting the opportunities is a bum or is not doing the job. And I just thought that's what was happening. I think there was somebody in the front office or the coaching staff that kept talking about Houston. And you know, it's – Even when you listen to when they had interviews or they asked questions about him and stuff, that was a great route runner. Kid's a great route runner, mm-hmm. good route. You know, and I'm like, well, how about finishing a route? Mm-hmm. How about finishing a play? How about finishing? And I didn't see it enough. And it was surprising to me that he made the team. And, you know, but you learned who the 53rd and 52nd players were on your team. You know, I wonder if they had to do it over if they would have cut. If they would have let Houston go before Ridgeway goes, you know, now Ridgeway gets claimed by the Commanders and the Eagles. Two claims go in for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see what happens with Houston. I think there's a lot of Dennis Houstons running around the National Football League right now.
Yeah. Well, and then we also talked about it yesterday on the show. It was going to be either him or a guy like Sammy Fehoko that was going to be out. I think Fehoko has done a little bit more than what we've seen with Houston. But, and I know you'll get to this, Derek, but does that mean we're possibly expecting Gallup to get in this weekend?
Mike,
I know he's going to be practicing and seeing what Mike, he can do, but
Mike is, you know, he's talking about a full complement. It seems like to me this has been the plan all along. The reason to keep him off the PUP list was to be able to get him ready before, you know, 4 weeks. And here we are in the third week, and this seems like the best time for him to get that opportunity, the way they're talking about ramping him up.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting Michael Gallup to play, whether it be – I don't think it'll be a full game. I think it'll be a certain number of reps, and I feel very confident saying I expect him to play this week. I will say this too. I do wonder if Dennis Houston became an example. And what I mean by that is I think sometimes when you're in a position of leadership with a group of people, you will hold up. If there's a quality about something that – if there's a quality that you really want the rest of the team to aspire to, you'll kind of hold up a person who really has that quality. And if – let's say, for example, you're in a situation where Houston is – he's running all the routes. He knows all the positions. He's doing the work in the classroom. He shows up at practice knowing exactly what he needs to do. He may not be catching a lot of balls, but that's beside the point. What you're trying to say to Jalen Tolbert is, I need you to show up. I need you to know what you're supposed to do. I need you to know all the positions. I need you to run the right routes precisely. Sometimes you can get blinded by that because you're so hard trying to tell this other guy, show him what the example is of what you want. You forget that at the end of the day, this guy just doesn't have the talent that this other guy has.
Yeah, and it can backfire. Right. That's some example. It's like, well, where is he now?
Exactly. So I kind of wonder, and I don't know if this is the case, but I do kind of wonder if maybe that's what happened in this instance. And then it just got to week two, and it's like, yeah, we're really not getting anything out of Dennis Houston. So, and by the way, we think we're going to get Michael Gallup back. We'll need the roster spot. Thank you for what you've done, Dennis. And if, by the way, we can get you back to the practice squad, we'd love to have you and keep developing you, right? I kind of think that's how it's going, but that's my opinion. All right, let's talk about Connor McGovern. He was another guy that Mike McCarthy brought up. Where is he as far as his recovery at this point?
Sounds like that had a good day on Monday. Work with Britt Brown. So that's going to be a continue. I don't think he plays this week. I think this is one of those things that, well, next week they'll ask, say after the Monday night game, everybody gets back in Tuesday and they'll start to talk about getting ready for the Commanders. Is it okay? Where is McGovern? I still think he's a couple of weeks away from really, you know, offensive linemen and ankle sprains and stuff. That's a difficult thing to have to deal with. It's hard on skill guys, but it's really hard on big guys too. Yeah. They're having to, you know, anchor down and mobility and lateral slide and all those things. You have to have that thing right in order to make it work.
And I don't know, Brian's probably the only one that's had a 300-pound man lean on him, but I would assume that doesn't feel good when you got a high ankle sprain.
No, it doesn't. And yeah. Without a high ankle sprain, it doesn't feel good when you have to block people like that. But, yeah. I mean, it's that's the thing about it is you just got to be able to set, you know, and if his pass set is not where he's comfortable with it. I mean, we've seen like guys like Zach Martin, I believe, came back early from something like that. But, man, they taped that thing up and – you know, how much mobility do you have? How much flexibility do you have in that? And that's the big thing that you have to deal with.
Well, he can be a guy that you're not using him too much. You can sprinkle him in there in the offense, and now you're using him how you were kind of using him last year in that way. I think – I don't want to say, oh, it was good that he got injured. Obviously, you don't want anyone to get injured, but I feel that this kind of helped you – figure out more things with the offensive line. Now you see what you got in Farniok, and then now you got us more like, okay, when he comes back, could he help at fullback? Could he do those other things that we saw him do last year, which it's an extra added element that can help the offense. So hopefully he can return soon and maybe not just full-time, just kind of part-time and do some things here and there.
I wonder if the one thing that I'd like to see is Peters play left tackle and Smith play left guard. I would like to see that.
I am more and more wondering if they're looking at this. I'm talking about the Cowboys brass. Uh-huh. They're looking at this and saying, man, that rookie's looking kind of good at left tackle.
Oh, no, I understand.
Should we really think about at least giving it a shot to put Peters at left guard? I actually wonder if they're going to think about that and maybe give that a try. I don't know. We'll see.
That's the mobility question that I have. The mobility, because I think at left tackle, he's fine. I wonder if you play him at guard in the second level stuff and the scoops and the reaches and stuff like that. When he has to go to his right, he looks like a 40-year-old offensive lineman. Is what he now run the ball going to the left behind him? Mm-hmm. He could come off. He gets into guys and he just can mash you that way. It's the stuff going away that's a little bit of a struggle for him. When you watch the Bears tape, that's the thing. That's one of the only things that I said. I said, man, if you're asking him to have to cut people off or scoop guys, it's a problem. He just doesn't have that foot quickness that he once had.
And that's where I would ask the question. What are they getting from Farniok in that way? Because you and I talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I think. I think Farniok, he was saved a lot last week by Cooper Rush getting rid of the ball quickly.
They had a lot of guys. I mean, the whole line gets saved on things. They really, Cooper did a nice job. And and Mike even brought it up this morning about the twist stunts and things like that that both Farniok and Smith have to deal with. And they're young players. Yeah. They don't see it. You know, I mean, there was a time when you watch like Ron Leary and Tyron Smith play, you know, with each other there, and they wouldn't even talk. They just bam, bam, they pass stuff. And it just and you know, now this group's kind of like, wait a minute, oh, here we go. You know, they're kind of, you know, it's kind of out of sync and they're at set different levels and but that's experience and that's playing together. And you know, the injury to McGovern had a really, I think, a good training camp. The injury to him, I think, really hurt this football team. From that, because I think he was going to be okay. Him and Smith were going to be okay there at left guard and left tackle.
Nick, have you heard anything about Jason Peters anymore, about kind of where he is in his acclimation?
They're going to just have – they have a decision to make, I think, before they decide to play him. It's just what they think is the best group. You know, like, is he better than – is Tyler Smith going to be better than Farniok at left guard? And is he better? You know, just you got to evaluate all of that. And, you know, to me, I just don't understand why you would bring in a guy like that with this kind of experience. There's other left tackles you can bring in that's not going to cause an issue like this. But he's a 9-time Pro Bowler, so you got to bring a guy in. And, I mean, he told you he needed 2 weeks to get ready. It's been 2 weeks. I just don't know where they view all that, and I just don't believe that 73. I don't believe Tyler Smith's going to have an issue moving to guard and then back to tackle.
All right, man, Nick, you're exactly right.
He's going to be fine.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, you know, if this was one of those things, Larry Allen late in his career was like playing like left guard to left tackle, and you're like, wow, they just moved an all-pro guard to tackle. You know, and you're like going, oh, okay, I get it. But, you know, Larry Allen's just going to pop in a big dip and go just do it. This kid's got the same kind of demeanor. Same toughness.
Tyron Smith played right tackle his whole first year, moved to left tackle, and he was one of the best in the league, if not the best. I mean, you know, Flozell Adams played guard his first year, then played tackle. I mean, I think if you're smart and you've got good athleticism, just like he moved to tackle after missing all of offseason and he's looked pretty good, I think he'll look fine at guard, move him back. This just gives you a chance to have your best, biggest guys, because you're right, Cooper Rush, I mean, he gets the ball out quick, but he needs more, you know, more time. He needs more, like, you know, the running game was okay. You know, I mean, the running game was okay, but it could be better, especially if you have a bigger guys in there.
Yeah, and especially if as we go along here, team starts to have more tape on Cooper, maybe he can't do some of the things he likes to do anymore.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. How does that affect your offense at that point? And you might need to rely on the run a little bit more, especially if you're thinking your defense is really the strength of your team.
So are we actually expecting – because I know it all along it's been 2 weeks – now we're going into week three. Are we actually expecting him to get into the mix?
Peters?
The word I heard was he needed more conditioning.
Yeah.
That's the word I heard. The word conditioning came up. It wasn't about knowing what's going on or anything like that. The word was conditioning.
Yeah, you played that long, you kind of know what's going on.
Well, right? You might be in a situation, too, where you know every win that Cooper Rush gets, it buys you time on Dak. We talked about that. Every win you get with Tyler Smith playing left tackle, it buys you more time to really see, like Nick was talking about, what you want to do with Jason Peters.
And conditioning could be a situation of not ready to play the entire game.
Yeah.
So being out there, being active, maybe just elevate him from the practice squad this week. You know, the Dennis Houston move, it could be a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It could be – Gallup's ready. He's going to get all the reps this week, you know, or Jalen Tolbert's. You know, he said, McCarthy said he was crushing it. So I don't know about that. But if he is, at least he could get to the point of actually getting
crushing
a uniform
enough to
on.
Get on a uniform.
That'd be nice. And then with Peters, you know, it could be a situation where they need a spot where he's going to be on there, because another domino factor is Dalton Schultz. What if McEwen is the guy that needs to be elevated? Because Will Greer's got to be elevated.
Yeah.
So then you got to get another guy elevated. So there's a lot of factors involved.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get into the New York offense versus the Cowboys defense. We'll do that in a moment. This is DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Little Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah,
and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to the break.
Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts to find the perfect lens for you. See more, do more, Essilor.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of the Break Life in SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment is brought to you by Blockchain.com. Let's talk about the New York Giant offense versus the Dallas defense. We'll start where we always start, Brian. Tell me about the best thing that this New York offense does.
It's their coordinator now. It's Brian Daboll calling the plays is what it really is. Mm. And he's got Mike Kafka, who I absolutely love as his coordinator, but Brian calls the plays here. So if we remember with Jason Garrett, and we've lived through the Jason Garrett administration where sometimes it wasn't always opened up. Things were very narrow. The Giants were a very narrow team with the way they played offensive football. Very shoe-to-shoe, very tight formation. Now, the Giants now open things up. They're a wider group. They bring motion across. What's happened is, though, they've got guys like Slayton, Tony, and Golladay, all these big-name type wide receivers. Those guys aren't as big of factors in these games now as what we've seen in the past with them. It's kind of like new GM, new coaching staff. Oh, hey, David Sills and Sterling Shepard. I know Sterling Shepard's an older player. Richie James is a name. I mean, I was watching these guys. I'm like, who the hell is number 80? And it's this Richie James catching the ball for them. And, you know, so they're kind of doing it their way. They're 2-0 saying, you know, they're playing really good defense. They're trying to do things to not let the quarterback screw it up too much, you know, because he has a tendency to get hit and fumble and all that. They're really trying to run Buffalo's offense, with when you look at what they would do with Josh Allen, the read option stuff, pull it, and then go straight ahead with Daniel Jones. They're really trying to make Daniel Jones kind of a Josh Allen quarterback. So that, I think, is the play caller's the most impressive thing that they have. And they've got a couple of young tackles that I think are doing pretty well, but another one of those teams that struggles a little bit inside.
Yeah, and talk to me more about that, the vulnerability. Where are they most vulnerable?
Yeah, Evan Neal was drafted from Alabama, and he is a massive guy. He's a 350-pound guy. And if you watch the Tennessee game, he's a little bit over the top of his skis, you know, when he's leaning and things. I think he played.
Where do they have him right now, left or right?
He's playing right tackle. Okay. So this is going to be, okay, Parsons, Tank, anybody else that wants to get a run on that right side. I think he played better in the Carolina game with his pass set, but there's times where you could see him get overextended. They're going to try everything they can to help him. Andrew Thomas on the other side, I feel like, has done a really nice job. He was a first-round pick in 2020. He's gotten better. But I think they're not very good at right guard, and I think at the left guard, both those spots, those three guys inside actually – I think they struggle the most when it comes to – it seems like that the tackles hold up and then all of a sudden there's breaks in the middle and there's, you know, there's people running through the middle and those linebackers that they play are running to make plays. I just don't think they're just a strong enough group inside. So if it was me, we talk about where to attack. It's the inside guys. I think this Mark Glowinski is his name. He's the right guard. He's number 64. They got him from the Colts. I never really liked him when he played for the Colts, and I don't like him even more now when he plays with the Giants, because I think like that he's going to struggle with some power. But on that right side, the guard and the tackle might be the two areas that where Dan Quinn says, okay, if we're going to rush this thing, if we're going to overload this thing like they did against Cincinnati, I think that's the direction that they might go.
Is Barkley a problem?
He is.
I mean, I thought he was going to be like a generational player, yeah. And he's just been okay.
He is, and he's finally healthy. And what they've figured out with him is now you got to get the ball to him in space, and he still has that ability. And it's never changed with him. It kind of goes slow, and then all of a sudden it explodes. It's like he's waiting for things to kind of set up. He had a hell of a day running the football against Tennessee.
Oh, he took over that game.
Yeah, he really, really, really did. And you know, and that was they needed him to do that. Man, Tennessee should have won that game, mm-hmm. though. My gosh, they did some of the stupidest things you'll ever see a team do. Kept the Giants in the game. But yeah, Saquon Barkley, he finally looks healthy. The explosiveness is there. It's like every time they hand him the ball, it appears it's like a 4 or 5 yard gain. I mean, that's
he's
the thing.
Back, you, think, yeah.
It's like the tackle's made, it's a gain of 6. Tackle's made, it's a gain of 7. Tackle's made, it's a gain of 4. I mean, that's kind of like they don't have the negative plays that they've had in the past with him running the ball.
You know, the Giants have never been a team to fear, really. We just kind of dismiss them all the way.
Not since you've been around. I remember back to the early 2000s when they were a little bit of a problem. But
they were?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I wasn't here then. But since I got here, it's never been like a problem. Unless you got Blake Jarwin playing in the game. He usually
he was a giant killer.
Not that
for
he's
sure.
been a problem, the Giants, but Blake Jarwin has always shined against the Giants. But my thing is, what's interesting that they do, and you kind of mentioned this, Brian, is kind of similar to what I feel Kellen Moore was able to do with the offense last week. Catering to your quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not the best quarterback, but they're managing to kind of give him what he needs, let him be successful in based on his abilities and what he can do.
Play to his strengths.
Play to his strengths. So the one thing that did stand out to me, other than them not making too many mistakes, he's only thrown one interception, so they're conservative in that way. But going back to the running game, you guys talked about Barkley and all that, but let's talk about the defense, or like from what Dan Quinn can do, because the running game has been an area that we've seen them a little bit struggle. So I'm just curious, once you talk about a player like that, mm-hmm. and you put them against the Cowboys defense, which we know what they are, but could this be a week where they actually show more problem and issues in like against the run?
Yeah, this when you play against a team that has a back like Barkley and a quarterback and an offensive coordinator that's willing to play with deception and like pull the ball, and you know, say you got Barkley and he's running the ball well and all that. Now you're overloading. You're trying to get Barkley on the ground. You're trying to make Daniel Jones then pulls the ball and runs straight ahead, you know, as everybody's collapsing in there. So that's a problem for you. This game is going to be this week is a lot about playing with your eyes and playing assignment football. And I know every week everybody says, oh, it's assignments, assignments, assignments. But in this game particularly, with a quarterback that's pretty good as a ball handler and has ability to run the ball, you know, this will be very much like when you get to play Philadelphia, you know, down the stretch here, you know, in a couple weeks, that a quarterback that has the ability to pull the ball and get positive yards out of it. So, yeah, Dan Quinn, you're going to hear when Dan Quinn's talking about it's about discipline, it's about playing with your eyes, and it's always about getting off blocks. It's always about – that's the one thing that they did a great job against Cincinnati as opposed to what they did against Tampa was the ability to the ends, the linebackers, everybody getting to the ball. There were a lot of white shirts to the ball last week. Safeties were filling, corners were filling. Everybody was involved in that. In this game, you're going to have to do the same, but it's that discipline. You can't sell out to go stop Barkley and then have Daniel Jones pull the ball and it's a 12-yard gain because you sold out to go get the ball.
Do your job.
Do your job this week. Yeah, it's one of those big games.
Right now, they are fifth in rushing in the league. They're averaging 170 yards per game on the ground. That's a really, really big clip. Good. And so you certainly have to be concerned about that running game. One question I would have.
Where are we right now?
In rushing?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. I know it's not that much. I know it's not even close to that.
Well, they have 108 last week running, and then the week before.
It was like maybe 60, 70?
No, Zeke had 50. So, yeah.
Yeah, but Pollard had 8.
Did Pollard only have 8?
He only had 8 on 6 carries. So, I want to say they were right there around 60-some or 80, 70 maybe. Somewhere in there.
It's amazing how this weeks go by and you don't remember what they did from week one to week two sometimes. But yeah, I felt like they ran the ball a little bit better last against Tampa than they did against Cincinnati. Yeah.
They just didn't stick with it enough.
Number 22 in the league.
It ain't great.
A whooping 22.
It ain't great.
Okay.
I mean, 89. Daniel Jones has been sacked 8 times.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, as athletic as he is running out there too, like he also... They're trying to get the ball out there too. Like, I mean, obviously eight times. I mean, it's not a Joe Burrow rate right now where I think he's on pace to be sacked over 100 times. But still, I mean, 70-something sacks is what the pace is for a game.
They're literally 29th in the league right now, and so they're down at the bottom of the league when it comes to protecting their quarterback.
I'll tell you what, man. I think they're going to try and make this a muddy game. I mean, and you're going to have to make it a muddy game too, I guess, because, you know, you don't have Dak Prescott playing. I mean, Cooper Rush scoring 23 points. I mean, that might be your top. So, you know, Nick's right about when they throw the ball, that's what I was mentioning to the inside guys. And, you know, the tackles, the tackles are not terrible. But if they run the ball and totally protect Daniel Jones in this game, and I mean protect him by not putting him back there throwing the ball, then it comes a little bit harder. Then on the flip side of that, you've got to, you know, they're going to slow this game down. So every possession you get, you got to find a way to get points. You know, I mean, I'm not talking about touchdowns. Field goals against the Giants are good because, you know, they're not going to score. I don't think they're going to score a lot either. You know, with their offense.
I mean, he's been in his whole career. I mean, he's been the nicest quarterback in the league because he will just give you the ball.
Yeah.
He just says, "Here you go." And he does. He's had he's one friendly. Interception this year. He's very friendly. Yeah. He's a sweetheart, and he'll get the ball to you. And, and especially if getting, you know, harassed like that. Like I feel when I saw that 8 sacks. Yeah, I feel better about this game for the Cowboys.
See, the thing about it, too, is there, and I watched a little bit of their special teams, they're struggling the punt coverage team stuff, too. They gave up a big, big return to Carolina that cost them, you know, actually, the Tennessee had a big one in the first game, and that was like went 45 yards. First touchdown, like Tennessee only had to go like 43 yards for their first touchdown of the season. And it was because of a big punt return. So they'll give that up a little bit, too.
All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. I got some deeper questions about this passing offense and the running offense for the Giants. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Little Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet!
unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah's savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Back to the break.
Join former NFL players for our first game day minicamp presented by Invisalign. The kids can come at the Ford Center October 2nd, 11:30 to 3:30, where you watch the Cowboys take on the Commanders. You can go out to your favorite restaurant, the Star District, while the kids play on the field here. Register your footballer. Go to DallasCowboys.com/academy.
Welcome back. Final segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Brian, I had a question about the Giants' offense. I looked at their stats. They're 29th in passing yards, 32nd in 20-plus passes, so they're not really even
they're not trying the ball downfield.
As Nick mentioned, they're 29th in sacks allowed. Everything says that they're just not getting much out of the passing game. My question is that more, is it really just all about the fact they can't protect the quarterback, or is it a situation where he's getting sacked because receivers aren't getting open, he's not able to be accurate? Are there other issues that if he is protected could be a problem for the Cowboys, or are they just bad across
the board? He's had to make some tough throws, and the ones throws that he's made, like to Sterling Shepard and people like that, have been like contested balls that have come across the middle where he stepped up and let it fly. Mm-hmm. He is on the run a lot. I don't think Daniel Jones, and you know, knock on wood, I just don't think Daniel Jones is a very good quarterback. I think that he's a broken quarterback. And so, you know, now when he's on the run, he thinks about mistakes, he thinks about forcing the ball. I mean, he has to be happy that, you know, they're 2-0 right now just because of how the offense has struggled. But his throws, like you say, Kenny Golladay, they paid a ton of money for him. He hasn't done anything for him. Tony was drafted by the previous regime. There were talks about trading, getting moving on from him. You know, Slayton is a good player, but, I mean, you know, it's just okay there. They just don't have anybody on the outside. The most explosive player is Tony, and then you get guys like Sterling Shepard, you know, David Stills, this Richie James. I mean, you know, it is what it is out there. I mean, they're going to – this is a team right now that is probably having some early success because of their defense, and they've got fortune in some games. But as it wears on, they're probably thinking, okay, we're really not a 2-0 team. Yeah. We're really probably more of a maybe a 6-7 win team, if that. And you know they're going to need time to retool this offense. They've done it with the offensive line with the two tackles. Need to get better inside, but man, the skill on the outside has really, really let them down. And I think the quarterback's on that point right now where it's kind of like we probably need to move on from Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Nick and Amber, I have a question for you guys. When you start looking at what the Cowboys were able to do to Cincinnati last week, and particularly looking at those receivers playing against the Cowboys secondary, do you think that it was a situation where you felt like they really were being covered well and that aided the Cowboys in getting the pressure? Or do you think a lot of what you saw last week in Cincinnati not being able to be effective for a lot of parts of the game were more about the fact the pass rush was just too much. The secondary was just okay. It was really more about the pass rush.
I think it was more about the pass rush and also about the fact that the Bengals didn't really adjust. And that was one of the issues. I said this on the radio. It's one of the issues they had with Frank Pollock as the O-line coach when he was here. He didn't always adjust. I mean, I don't know how many times Dak had to get hit with Chaz Green trying to block in Atlanta before you figured out you need to do something. And that same thing happened. They didn't really do that as much, the Bengals, and they held the ball more than they probably should have. I thought, you know, as good as Brown and Diggs and those guys played, I think Micah Parsons really, in that rush, it wasn't just him, but mostly him. I think they aided to all that as well. And so, I mean, if the Giants are going to play the same way and kind of hold the ball and see who wins in the line of scrimmage, then I don't think any receivers are really going to get open that much.
Yeah, they could be in a situation real quick where, like you mentioned, that Cincinnati's answer was in the second half to try and run the ball because they knew their quarterback was going to get hit every time. I have a feeling that the Giants are going to do the same thing. The Giants are going to say, let's see how physical you can play. You got all these pass rushers. You got all these guys that are tall, linear players that are 244, 250 pounds. You know, your biggest guys are like the, you know, with Bohannon and those guys. So if you're interested, I think they're going to make Dallas play their base defense. I think they are because, you know, if you get them in the nickel, this is where Dallas can win. Dallas can win when they have all their linear rushers in there attacking, you know, when the game gets out of hand and it turns into just a one-dimensional thing. I think the Giants are going to say, we're not going to let you hit Daniel Jones eight times in this football game. You know, we're going to see, okay, let's see if you want to put your nickel package on the field and then try and stop the run of Saquon Barkley. That's what I think that they're going to try. I think they're going to try and wear Dallas down. And then it kind of worked for Cincinnati and a little bit in the second half. Dallas pass rush wasn't as effective. You know, the final drive, yeah, it got a little bit more. But you made better plays in the secondary, though, too. Yeah. Your guys tackled a little bit better as well.
That's what I was going to say. I think that the only there always could be many ways. But I really do think that the only way that the Cowboys defense struggles is if they wear them down, if they get tired, which we saw last week towards the end of the game. But at that point, I mean, they still managed to pull through and stop them. But at the same time, Giants have not faced a defense like the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't faced a guy like Micah Parsons. So it's going to be tough on them. Yes, they watch the film. They know what's coming. And the thing is, and we keep talking about it on the show, now you're not just having to keep an eye just on Micah Parsons. We got on film all these other guys that can make plays and will make plays against you, and they're going to have to be worried about that too. So I think this is going to be a really interesting game, but I can't see, even though they can use the run the ball and all that, I just can't see them, like the Cowboys defense, not being able to control them and keep them, you know, under control enough for the Cowboys offense to be able to compete and try to score some points as well.
If the Cowboys somehow can find a way to build a lead like they did against Cincinnati, it would make the Giants so one-dimensional where all of a sudden it's like, we got no choice. We got to throw the ball now. And now you're covering receivers that are they don't have the Evan Ingrams anymore at tight ends and things like that like they used to in the past. So put the game in Daniel Jones's hands throwing the football, and that's the path to success, because then it's about the pass rush. It's not about – because the closer this game stays, the more it probably favors the team that can run the ball. And that's the Giants right now.
Yeah, but I'll say this, Brian. I think that's actually the way that they have to look at it. But I also think you're going to need more points than 14. I think 14 points in Cincinnati kind of scared them away from their run a bit and made them say, let's throw a little bit more. Let's get a little more aggressive. I don't think the Giants will do that. In the game against Tennessee, they were down by more than 14 before and they still had not abandoned the run, and it ended up working out for them. Yeah. I think this is just their offense, and they're just going to stick with it. And if they go down, you know, by a lot of points, I expect they're still going to be using Saquon Barkley because that's the best thing that they do. Well, so you may not be able to scare them off of that. You're going to have to tackle all day. That's just going to be the way this game goes.
Okay, if it turns into, you know, I think Dallas's defense is good enough to where if they get a 17-point lead, that they're going to finish this game.
Yeah.
They'll finish. I mean, I know Cincinnati was rough at the end, but I feel like, though, you're talking about Joe Burrow as opposed to Daniel Jones. You know, if you make him have to throw the ball to win this game, I think you find a way to win the game.
So, Nick, if you are the Giants offensive coordinator, what are you thinking is the best way to attack this Dallas defense?
I think screens to Barkley. I think short passes, get the ball out quick, go sideline to sideline a little bit, and maybe use Micah Parsons' aggressiveness against him. You know, he likes to rush really wide. I think I'm gonna try to not. I mean, he's the head of the snake. I gotta cut that off. And so if he wants to go wide like that, I think that I'm scheming things against him, or let him come up the field and rush underneath him. I mean, that's where I think the issue's got to be. I mean, you got to neutralize him. And if he's gonna play to one side, that's where the you know, you have to call it that way. Hey, we're gonna run here. We're gonna try to trap him inside.
This is where it gets interesting. And I like what Nick said there. But where it gets interesting is Wilson, Van Der Esch, Barr.
Mm-hmm, those guys.
That's going to be the key now. Because if they're going to set their protection to or away, whatever, they're going to run away from 11, now it turns into, okay, where's 55, where's 6, where's 42?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, and then who's at defensive end? Because then it turns into, okay, those guys are going to, they're going to ones that have to, if they say, we can't run at 11, he's going to kill us. Okay, we need to run the other way. If Wilson, Van Der Esch, Barr, Armstrong, all those guys struggle, then that's gonna be the recipe for the Giants, because they'll say, we'll just keep running away from 11, you know, as long as those others can't make
plays. They won't do it, because every offensive coordinator, I think, in the world has got a little bit of, you know, they got ego to him. He's not going to switch it every single time. When Parsons lines up here, they're going to run here. And then the next time he runs over here, they're not going to switch their play call. They're not going to let him dictate it that much. They'll do it some, but, I mean, I agree. The guys at the strength are right up the middle. And I think Barr is huge to the success of Parsons. They didn't really have that last year. Yeah. But that now they do. Now they have some success in there. And they might switch it around. You might see Barr doing some rushing too. He didn't make the four Pro Bowlers because he was sitting in the middle of the field the whole
time.
He is
a pressure player.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah, I actually look at this game and I'm like, if I'm them, I'm thinking, how do I get, and I know he made the tackle that saved the game last week, but I still look back to that week one and I'm like, I'm trying to run outside as much as I can. I'm going to at least challenge Diggs and make him show me that he's willing to take on Saquon Barkley if he's running out wide. Like, I'm going to make him do that. Yeah. We even talked a little bit about Hooker and his ability to come up and run support. Like, I want to get those guys in situations, if I'm the Giants, where they got to tackle my big bull of a back. And let's see if they can do that.
Yeah, they didn't do a very good job of getting Fournette on the ground or those things. And like I said, it's the thing about it is, if you're the Cowboys, you're doing everything in your power not to let the ball get to Diggs. It's about Barr playing. Barr didn't play worth a damn against Tampa Bay week one.
Wasn't his best week.
And they didn't get anybody to fill the safeties where Curse was out or whatever situation. They didn't fill like they filled last week against Cincinnati. So if all of a sudden that the ball's getting the ball is getting to Diggs, something else bad is happening inside to you.
Yep. All right, real quick before we end, I did want to also ask about the rushing game for the Giants. What do they tend to do most? Are they inside rushing? Because it kind of goes back to what we're talking about. Are they inside or the outside? What do they like to do most with Barkley?
They're like they take the snap. If you watch Buffalo play and how they run the ball, it's the inside handoffs, it's the reads, it's the stuff like that. They'll bend the ball to the outside and things like that. Barkley is one of those guys who will take it inside and then he'll bounce. He'll bounce or he'll take it and he'll jump and then he'll jump into a hole, but it's inside. So it's not one of those things you say, oh, he's just going to bounce everything. No, he has the capability to press a hole, jump, and then get through another hole. But I'd say you're going to get a lot of read stuff. You're going to get a lot of hand it to him, let him go on the outside. You'll hand it to him, let him go on the inside. Or the quarterback's going to pull and just straight attack. We've seen that. Very Buffalo-like with their scheme.
Perfect. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We're back tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll jump into the New York defense versus the Cowboys offense. Obviously, so many storylines around the Cowboys offense. We'll talk about a few of those. Hopefully, we'll have a little more update on kind of where some of these guys that are injured or coming back from injury, where they are in their return and how many may be ready for Monday night. We'll talk about that all tomorrow. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I am Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!